If you go to Luke 8, verse 5, a sower went out to sow. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he soweth, or sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground, and sprung up, and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now, I like the way Jesus put emphasis on this parable. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And then the Lord gives the interpretation of that parable. And then he says, after he gives the interpretation, and we'll go through that in preaching, verse 18, "Take heed, therefore, how ye hear." That's what I want to preach this morning. Take heed how ye hear. Can you hear that? Are you listening? Take heed how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Now I'm preaching on this simple thought. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. One of the greatest truths that one could give to the present day church world. Take heed how ye hear. People are not hearing. I'm telling you, people are not hearing. People are not listening. They hear much with ears, but never going much deeper, and so their heart is never changed. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. Now, you may be seated, and I want you to listen to me a minute real carefully. In fact, I want you to listen that way all the way through the sermon. But I want you to listen real carefully here at the beginning. When you go to the book of Luke, the book of Luke is a great gospel book. You go to the book of Luke, you will find something really special about the book of Luke. It deals with the man, Christ Jesus. It deals with the Son of Man. It deals with the Son of Man and the wonderful truths about him that we know to be God's Word, and we know him to be God's Son. Then you go from the book of Luke to the book of John, and it deals with the Son of God. It deals with the divinity of Christ. Luke deals with the humanity of Christ, and you can see the divinity, of course, in that. John deals with the divinity of Christ, and you can see the humanity in that. But the emphasis of those two books are different in that light. The book of Luke, the humanity of Christ. The book of John, the book of Luke, the humanity of Christ. The book of John, the divinity of Christ. One, he is divine, and we know that. He is human, and we know that. And when you begin to look at that, it does something for you. Now, John does not repeat this parable, because this parable gives you somewhat of the picture of Christ's humanity. He is thinking how few people are listening to him. Four different ways people hear the seed, and the seed is sown, but in only one of the four is there a fruit. And it's like, as I read the story, I hear the weeping in the voice of the Son of God. I hear the sorrow. I hear the ache that so few are willing to listen. And he expresses that in the verse 18 that I'm using as a text, as a statement. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. But then you go to John, and how does it start out? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. It would sound like reading John that there's no such thing as Jesus ever losing a soul. But you read the book of Luke, and you see the evidence that a lot of people don't want to hear what he's got to say. And there's a weeping in the voice of the Son of God. And as I lay in my bed during the night and kept coming up back on this sermon and waking up and thinking again of what I was to preach, I thought about how we have got to understand both sides of the life of Jesus Christ. We got to understand the human side. He said, we will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. He had overcome the world. He spoke of all of the dark places he went through. He spoke of all the dark places that he had to endure. But then in the book of John, it's almost like he never lost a battle. That he was triumphant in everything. That he was divine and couldn't lose. But in Luke, he was human and couldn't win. You know, it's kind of like that as you read those books. And we then see this God-man. God-man. Notice that. This God-man. Fully God and fully man. Fully man and fully God. And you begin to understand that, it makes the Bible come alive. I thought this morning how much I wanted to climb those steps to the upper room and be full of the Holy Ghost. And you know what the Holy Ghost said to me? You got to first climb that steep hill to Golgotha before you can climb those steps to the upper room. You can never get to the upper room if you don't go by Golgotha. You can never get to the upper room if you don't experience that wonderful life of being tested and tried and being strong enough to endure the hard places and the tough experiences and standing strong when all hell is howling at your background. Knowing that, praise God, if I endure that cross, I'm going to climb that hill to Pentecost. Hallelujah. And God's going to fill me with His sweet Holy Ghost. So when you understand the Bible like the Bible wants us to understand it, yes, there is a hill to climb. But yes, there is an upper room also to climb. Hallelujah. So if you endure hard places, you will soon enjoy the blessings of the high places. You can't have the hard places if you don't, or can't have the high places if you don't take the hard places. Are you willing this morning? Are you willing to suffer a little bit? Are you willing to endure some trials and some experiences that are tough to handle? Are you willing to walk through the valley and the shadow of death, trusting Him that He'll be right there to comfort you and to keep you and to watch over you? Hallelujah. Are you willing? Oh, praise God. So, the book of Luke, the man, Christ Jesus. The book of John, the God, Son of God, divine, eternal. And He is both. And He is both. And it's the thrill of this wonderful truth of the Bible. In fact, the way God started this wonderful story, it kind of shares that with us, that this is a mystery. The disciple says to Him, why are you talking in parables? He said, because of the mystery of the Bible, the mystery of the kingdom. Hallelujah. I'm glad I know something of the mystery of the kingdom. How about you? Hallelujah. Now let's go to this beautiful parable. Jesus is the one that told it. A sower went out to sow. You know, the kingdom of God is a matter of sowing seed. There is no other way to get to the kingdom of God. There is no other way to fulfill the business of the kingdom of God but the sowing of seed. We're here this morning, and we hear that there may be a time of the sowing of the seed. That's what the Word of God is. It's a seed. Now, when you understand this part and this truth about the Bible, it really will do something for you. Now, listen to me carefully. The Bible is the seed of God by which God works the work of the kingdom in the heart of His people. If you don't live in the Bible, your life is going to disintegrate and fall apart. If you don't live by the Bible, you have no more chance of going to heaven. It is impossible to get inside the kingdom but by the Word of God. That's why we are so devoted to the King James Bible, because we know it is literal. We know it is infallible. We know it came from the original source. We know the Holy Ghost has protected it. And we know that it is a seed. And the Word of God is such a powerful seed that if a man will hear it, there cannot help but be a miracle in his life. If you hear the Word of God, you will have a miracle. He sent His Word and healed us. If you want to be healed, you latch on to the Word of God, and you clamp your hands on its promises, and you clamp your heart on what the Bible has said, and you stand your ground in the face of hell and high water, and you don't waver. You just keep on believing the Word. And if you keep on believing the Word, you're going to get a miracle. The Bible makes it plain that every miracle of God is in the Word of God. Now, you got to hear me this morning, because I'm talking about the Word, the sowing of it. That's very important. But if you don't understand what the Word represents, you're not going to find any joy in sowing it. You know, why would anybody want to sow a seed that has no germination power within the context of that seed? Why would you go into your garden and plant some seed that had been harvested years ago, had dried up until you could tell that the germ inside the seed had long ago departed, had long ago died? You would not sow seed like that in your garden. I've seen seed like that. And I say, you know, you're sowing that seed, it's dead. Well, I got news for you. There's a seed that God's given us to sow called the infallible Word of God, and it is powerful, and it cannot fail when anybody latches on to it with faith. You take a hold of this Bible with faith, and it's going to be fulfilled in your life. You're going to see a miracle. Are you listening to me? You're going to see a miracle. The Word of God is more powerful than anything I could name in this pulpit. Forever settled in heaven. That's what the Bible says. The Word of God forever settled in heaven. It is dynamite. It is a living dynamo. It is a living supernatural authority and power. You believe this Bible and something's going to happen in your life as sure as my name is Joseph. Hallelujah. I just believe the Word of God. Anybody want to believe it with me? Do you believe the Bible is a supernatural seed? Do you believe the Bible has within it a supernatural power? Do you believe the Bible has a force within it that all hell can't stop and all hell can't defeat? This Bible is the infallible Word of God. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, I want to shout it out. Hallelujah. I want to shout it out. This Bible is infallible. It's the Word of God. It's the seed of God. Now, it's overwhelming to me how much of this world today don't really believe the Bible. They'll argue with anything you say. If the Bible says it, that settles it. If the Bible doesn't say it, only a fool will join into it. I did a program yesterday on cremation, and we really had a great response. The majority of people in any kind of fundamental setting know that cremation is terrible and is from the pagan world. And I made that plain, and the documentation is really overwhelming, really overwhelming. But I noticed emails, and people will say, there's nowhere in the Bible where it says, thou shalt not cremate. Well, but it is in the Bible so many times where it says, thou shalt bury. So when the Bible says, thou shalt bury, and it don't say the other, does that mean you can take the other because the Bible don't address it? No, no, never. No, if the Bible says something, that settles it. Did I feel something come back at me? You can don't throw your Bible, throw a songbook, okay? Hallelujah. You heard me. Don't throw your Bible. Throw a songbook. Well, a songbook's harder. Maybe you better throw your Bible. Listen, no, you don't ever throw your Bible. Listen to me, church. I'm here to tell you the Word of God is mighty and is powerful. The word of God is mighty. It's supernatural. Hallelujah. And so when you see the Lord here sowing the seed and talking to us about sowing the seed, it's the greatest duty you got is to sow the seed of the word of God. There's nothing you have a responsibility to do greater than sowing the seed of God. And you know that's what I believe. And I've been doing it now 57 years, and I'm not slowing up. I'm not giving up. I'm not discouraged. I know the word of God will bring forth result. It'll bring forth fruit. It's like dynamite. Ray Hughes said one time, you just keep pouring hot lead in a hole and something's going to give after a while. Something's going to give after a while. I've been sensing that all week, all over the city, everywhere I've been going. I have been sensing that somehow this dynamite, this dynamo is beginning to affect people. It's beginning to move people. It's beginning to awake people. I'm here to tell you, this Bible is infallible. This Bible is wonderful. And I want to preach on these four signs of this parable. But I'm telling you, I'm hung up right here. This Bible is infallible, supernatural word of the living God, and you reach it and you grab it and you take hold of it and you believe it, it will change your life. It'll make a new person out of you. You'll never be the same again. Hallelujah. I love the word of God. Oh, I love the word of God. I love the word of God. Well, let me try to deal with each of these. Jesus gave the interpretation. Those by the wayside, this is verse 12, are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their heart, lest that they should believe and be saved. Now, I want you to hear something there. There's two or three things in that verse that need your attention. Number one, the word of God in his mighty power being sowed is an incredible thing. But in this case, it fell by the wayside. Now, is he talking about literally the seed dropping by the side of the road? No, he's using that as an illustration. He's using that as a type. He's talking about the way people treat the Bible when they hear it. Many people, when they hear the Bible, Jesus is saying, it's like the seed just falls by the wayside. It just falls off somehow. It doesn't register in their life. And there's a reason here that he gives. The devil hears the preaching of the word. Did you know the devil is listening to me right now? How many knew the devil was listening to me right now? The devil's listening to me. And the devil's also watching you. And he's trying to figure out how you're going to react to the Bible this morning. Right now, the devil is trying to figure out how you're going to react. And he's making a game. He's making a scheme over you. And he's reaching to steal that word from you before it gets from here down to here. He don't mind you hearing it here, but he don't want you to hear it here. And so somewhere between there and there, there's an old enemy grabbing the word of God and grabbing the truth of the Bible and grabbing what the preacher is saying and grabbing the truth of the Holy Scripture. And he's trying to steal it away from you before it gets down in here. Because old Lucifer knows if this word gets down in here, he's in trouble. Hallelujah. He knows if this word gets there where it takes a hold of your heart, he's going to lose this war. He's going to lose this game with you. And he's going to lose one of his faithful followers. And you're going to become a servant of the living God. And you Christians, I want to tell you, the devil don't want you to hear another great truth from the Bible. You've already caused him enough trouble with what you've already heard. But if this morning you could hear the fullness of the word, you'd really be a problem to the devil. And that's what he don't want. Somebody hear me preach this morning, would you? Hallelujah. So you hear the word of God. How many remember what I said a while ago about the word? It's dynamite. It's supernatural. It'll transform everything about you. You'll never be the same again when the word of God gets in your heart. Oh, said to Rama, oh, raise your hand and worship him with me. Thank you for the word of God, Father. Thank you for the word of God, Father. Let that word of God get a hold of us until we're never the same again. Saturate us with the holy book. Hallelujah. And make us dynamite for God in Christ. Oh, I feel it. I feel it. Somebody's getting it. Somebody's getting it. Somebody's hearing it. Hallelujah. Right now, let it set you free. Let it set you free. Let it make a new person out of you. I believe every word of the Bible. How many of you will say something with me? I believe every word of the Bible. Now say that again, will you? Hallelujah. Now you live like that. And you read it with that kind of devotion. Don't take my word for nothing. You don't have to. I don't want you to placate me by believing what I preach. I want you to believe what the book says. I want you to believe what the book says. I want you to get in the word. Brother Chambers has lost the battle if all you do is look to me and don't look to that Bible. I've lost it. I don't want to lose it. I want you to get it. Okay, now you heard that one. These by the wayside. They hear it, but the devil steals it. Now, what do we do about that? We make up our mind that nothing is going to steal the Bible we hear preached. And nothing's going to steal the Bible we read. And nothing's going to steal the Bible we hear taught. Nothing's going to steal what's in this book from us. We're going to believe every word of it. We're going to, if the best preacher you know says something different from what this Bible says, who do you believe? You believe the Bible. If Brother Chambers says something different from this Bible, you don't believe me. You believe that Bible. I'm telling you, I don't want you following me. I want you following that book. That book will get you to heaven. That book will take you through the troubles and the trials. That book will take you over the mountain. That book will take you up through the valley. That book will take you across Jordan. Hallelujah. That book will take you to the promised land. Are you hearing me? Oh, because every hallelujah. And then number 2, verse 13, they on the rocks are they which when they hear, receive with joy. Woo! I've had people come here to church. Church is over. And they look at me and say, man, I've never heard preaching just like that. That is so wonderful. I'm telling you, that is so wonderful. And they would be so joyous. I mean, they would look like they were fixing to become the greatest Christian in the city. And you would never even see them again. I mean, we've had people come through here and just absolutely love what they heard and felt and saw and never come back. How do they do that? It's because they hear the word, they receive it with joy. This is what the Bible said. And they have no root. They have no root. They have no ability to discipline themselves. They have no ability to dedicate themselves. They have no ability to turn themselves loose up to God. I was preaching the funeral the other day, and none of that family is here. I wouldn't dare embarrass any one of them. But I remember their dad, Mr. Newton, and he was such a dear man. When he was in prison, he was a model inmate. When he was in prison, everybody liked him. When he was in prison, he was as disciplined as Marlon Clark is disciplined in prison when he was in prison. But he'd get out of prison at 2 o'clock on the afternoon of Friday, and he would be intoxicated before the sunset that day. Now, what was Mr. Newton's problem? It wasn't that he wasn't a good, decent kind of man in many ways. It wasn't that he didn't love Ms. Newton and those 9 children of his. There was good things in him, but he had no root. He had no root. He had no ability to dig in and settle. Now, there's somebody, I feel it right now. I'm telling you, I feel what I'm just saying. And right now, somebody's listening to me. You would make one of the best Christians in the world, but you have no root. You have no ability to take what I'm saying and put it into practice. You have no root. And Jesus said, because you have no root, what happens? The scripture says it clear. And these have no root, which for a while believe, in times of temptation, they fall away. The church is full of that. The church world is full of that. Many elders and deacons and choir members of churches are full of this failure, this inability to let the root of the Word of God become rooted in their life and go down deep and get a hold of them. I don't know how it happened to me. I really don't. It wasn't that I was a rascal of a kid, but somehow when He saved me, the Word of God took root in my heart. How many can say the Word has rooted? in my heart. Would you raise your hand way up high? Praise the Lord, Sister Elaine. Root way down deep. The word's got a root in my heart. The word's got a hold of me way down here. Hallelujah. And when the old enemy comes by, hallelujah, somehow, because the word has root, I have the ability to go forward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody raise your hand. The word of God must have root in your heart. I think of someone right now who desperate to find root. You know, Jesus must have wept as he told this story. You know, I'm serious. I love the way I understand Luke to be the picture of his humanity, because he felt just like you feel. He hurt just like you hurt. The Bible said he was tempted in all points like as you are, yet without sin. You read the book of John and you hardly can feel that. But you read the book of Luke and you can really feel that. I'm trying to show you something, that as you read these books, they can affect your life in days and years to come. When you read the book of Luke, look for his humanity. When you read the book of John, look for his divinity. Oh, hallelujah. I want to tell you something. I'll never forget reading the book of John on my knees many years ago. I was pastoring a little church at Rockwell. That was in, I left there in 64, so I had gone there in 58 or 59. That's a long time ago, and I'm not that old. I don't know how all that happened, and me be so young as I am. I mean, why you laugh? You hear him laughing? I'm kidding. Listen, I want to tell you something. I read the book of John on my knees. I went to the sanctuary at the Rockwell Church, and I got down night after night, about an hour or two, and I'd read the book of John. And I was doing what I was told: don't ask for nothing. I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. And over about 3 or 4 weeks, I must have said, I want to see Jesus 1,000 times. And one night, I'm down on my knees, and I'm reading the book of John, and the back door opens, and somebody comes in. And I turned to look, and nobody was back there that I could see. But a presence had come into that sanctuary, and I fell in love with Jesus. I'd already knew him. I'd been saved a lot of years, but I'd never met him like I met him that night. Hallelujah. And when he got through with me, I've never forgot that time in that sanctuary. I want to know Jesus. I wish this morning I could get everybody in this building to dedicate the next month to read the book of John on your knees. Oh, and to read it with one prayer. Forget the sermon I preach. Forget the sermon anybody else preached. Don't interrupt it by listening to music. Just pray, I want to know Jesus. I want to see that divine Son of God. And want to see, when I saw him, I'll never be the same. I've seen preachers come and go by the dozens, and even the hundreds. And somehow, by the grace of God, that one experience of seeing Jesus was all I needed. Brother Marlon, there's nothing like knowing him. Could I tell you, there's nothing like knowing him. Michelle, there's nothing like knowing him. David, there's nothing like knowing him. Yvette, there's nothing like knowing Jesus. Hallelujah, you come to know him. And I know that. I can see it all over you. I can see it all over you. Listen, let me tell you something. The book of Luke is wonderful. You need to know he's human. You need to understand, when you suffer, he suffered before you did. And he just simply went before you. And now you're coming after him. And if you cannot bear the crucifixion and the suffering of Christ, you have no right to bear the divinity and the glory of Christ. And the Bible makes that real over and over and over. It is the tough valleys that gives you that root by which the real breath of God can take root in your heart and make something out of you. Oh, hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Right now, I know I've got more preaching to do. But how many of you will just raise a right hand and say, Jesus, will you help me know you like I have never known you? Let that spirit grip this church, Lord. We'll never be the same. These young people will never get over it. Brother Dylan, you'll never be the same if you seek him and you wait to know him and you yearn for a fellowship with him. Oh, the transformation will take place in your life. And Jesus makes it plain here, because they had no root. Because they had no root. I wish you would right now make up your mind that you're going to dig some foundations around your life, and you're going to dig in, and you're going to get you a root with Christ like you've never had, and you're going to be utterly abandoned to him. I must go to the next one. And they which fell among thorns. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures. There's nothing that will get you like cares and riches and pleasures. Let me tell you something, friend. Cares are part of your life. Some people have riches that come their way. Some people, everybody has opportunities of pleasures. And there's good cares and there's good riches. And there's good pleasures. But there's plenty of bad cares and bad riches and bad pleasures. And you must make sure that everything about your life is kept so organized, clean, and so pure, and so committed to him that none of these things ever take your eyes off of Jesus. Hallelujah. When you get the biggest paycheck you ever got, reach your hand up and say, I belong to Jesus, not to this paycheck. Hallelujah. When you have an opportunity for some pleasure that's not clean and not pure, you say, no way will I go the way of unclean pleasures. My life belongs to Christ. Give yourself to him, because these things will steal Jesus away from you. Are you listening to me? They'll steal Jesus away from you. But the last one, but that on the good ground, that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Oh, what a way to finish a sermon. Hallelujah. Oh, my time. I still got a little time here. Listen to me. Listen to me. I want you to know something. When you hear that word, you decide what effect it will have upon you. I'm here to tell you, it isn't the word that decides that. It may be the greatest sermon you ever heard that you will hear down the road. Certainly won't be me preaching it, but it may be the greatest. But if you don't let it get a hold of your heart, and you don't with an honest and good heart grip it and take it inside and live by it, it can do you no good. It can do you no good. Great preaching will do you no good until you hear it and receive it and plant it in your heart and take hold of it and go in the power of it. Somebody help me preach this morning, will you? Oh, thank God for the privilege to hear the word of God. Thank God for the privilege to hear the word of God. Now, I've done my best this morning to show you the book of Luke and the book of John, and to show you that Jesus had some tough places. If you can't walk with him up the Valderosa and climb the hill to Golgotha, you know the Valderosa, the pathway from the Hall of Pilate all the way to Golgotha's hill. I don't know whether it's a true path. I don't know that's exactly the way he went. But it is celebrated in that fashion anyway, the Valderosa. And then climb that Golgotha's brow. And if you're not willing to go to Calvary with him, you'll never go to Pentecost with him. And this morning I want to beg of you to get a hold of your heart and say, this word of God is for me. I'm going to count for God. I'm going to get it deep in my heart. I'm going forward with heaven. I'm going forward with God. I'm not going to be a cheesy Christian. I'm not going to be a light, frivolous church member. I'm not just going to hang around the perimeter of the kingdom. I'm not just going to hang around in the near proximity of the things things of God, I'm diving in head over heels. Hallelujah. I'm going for the prize. I'm going for the grand reward. I'm going for the grand amen. I'm going for the best heavens, God. How about you? I'm going to be all he can make me to be. Hallelujah. Joe Chambers is a failure without him, but with him there is no such thing as failure. Hallelujah. How many believe this? Do you really believe this? Cheer up now, church. Cheer up, saints of God. You're carrying a heavy load. I want you right now, if you're carrying a heavy load, and I know some of you are, I want you to stand up so you can give it to God. Stand up with that heavy load. We're going to give it to God this morning. That's right, Sister June. We're going to give it to God. We're going to give it to God. I've got a burden. I've got a hunger to go on with God like I've never had before. Stand up if you've got that hunger. If you intend to count for God and you intend to be as good of a Christian as God can make out of you, then stand up and say, I surrender. I give it all. Let the word root itself deep in me. Oh, great day. The Bible is supernatural. When it gets a hold of the strings of your heart, it's not enough for the Bible to get a hold of your mind. It's got to get a hold of the strings of your heart. Are you listening to me? It's got to get a hold of the strings of your heart. It's got to get a hold of those things that move you and those things that excite you and those things that you enjoy. All this morning, sitting here before anyone had arrived, I was just loving my Father. I was just telling my Father how much I loved him. And I'm telling you, it got a hold of me until I was almost screaming it. Father, how I love you. I wish somebody would scream out, Jesus, how I love you. I wish somebody would say it so loud it would wake up the dead. Hallelujah. I wish you'd say it with everything in you. I got to know him like I've never known him. I got to live in his Bible. I got to be set apart to his way. I got to live by every scripture. I don't live by part of it. I don't live by a little of it. I don't live by the good parts of it. I live by all of it. I love the verse that we studied Wednesday night a week ago. It said very carefully, he that endures temptation shall receive the crown of life. Hallelujah. There's some endurance on your way to the crown. Do you understand that? There's some endurance. There's some made up mind, Sister Stephanie. Made up minds. Made up dedication. I'm going all the way. Brian, how about you? All the way. How about you, Brother David? All the way. I love you, young man. I want you now to raise your hand. Father, we're here in the house of God. The saints called the brother. Oh, I don't know what need may be back here. I don't know where there may be somebody that's ready to surrender your life to Christ. But bring them in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. I give it all. I give it all. I give it all. I give it all. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, I've enjoyed preaching his word this morning. I want you to understand, this Bible is so supernatural. If you ever get in your head, see, this is what I don't understand about the church world. They don't grasp that the Bible is a supernatural book. It's been translated into so many languages. It's been translated in so many different versions. They've got now a racetrack version. They've got a homosexual version. They got a version for just about everything. I mean, and people wonder why America has lost a love and a confidence in the Bible. Let me tell you something, my dear friend. There is an infallible book. Now, I'm not a King James only. I'm a Textus Receptus only. That's the manuscripts that underpin this Bible. This is just a copy from those manuscripts. And they are pure as the sun set or rose. Hallelujah. And that's why this is pure, is because it came from the right manuscripts. And that's a study all by itself. And it's worth your time and your attention. But I'm telling you, that book is infallible. You believe a statement that this book says, and you get on top of it, and you stand, and there's not enough devils in hell that can stop that word from being fulfilled in your life. I mean, that's breathtaking to know that here's a book that if you believe it, the devil can do nothing about it. The devil can't stop it. He's helpless. But only when you believe the Bible. The Bible says that God has exalted his word above his name. I got an email this week from a person that said, "What do you think? You don't worship the Bible. You don't sing songs to the Bible. You don't treat the Bible like it's a god. The Bible is still being written." And was talking about Rick Joyner. He was saying, these men are still getting these revelations that now become part of the Bible. That's a lie from the devil. Do you hear me? That's a lie straight out of the pit of hell. If you can believe that, then you can believe the Pope is the incarnation of Jesus Christ, because that's what they say. He becomes the Pope. That means he is the vicar. He is the final word. And he gives new interpretations and new statements that are not even in the Bible. And if he can do that, then Rick Joyner can do that. But nobody can do that, because the word is forever settled in heaven. If that don't take care of it, what do I need to say? Forever settled in heaven. Whoa, Brother Richard, it's settled, brother. Hallelujah, it's settled. This book is infallible, and I'm going to stand on it until I take my trip out of here. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Raise your hand up and let's love on him with all our heart. If there's a sinner in this building who's about to lose your soul, step out of your seat and come running down this aisle. Will you? Come to Christ. Don't wait. Come to Christ. The word of God will change your life. You need healing? Stand on the word, Sister Chambers. That's what we're doing, aren't we, honey? Standing on the word. Standing on the word. Our eyes are getting weak, and my ears are getting weak, and I'm wondering what's going next. I hope it's not my brain, but I'm standing on the book. Hallelujah. I'm standing on the word, and the devil can't do nothing that God don't allow for his glory. Hallelujah. You know, I don't know what I want to do this morning, but hallelujah, hallelujah. Everybody that believes this, I want you to come straight to this altar, will you? Come and stand right up here close. Hallelujah. I almost started to call them victory march. Been a long time since we've done one of them. Hallelujah. And just march and march. Hallelujah. I want you to come. Raise your hands up. Don't you stand there like a mealy mouth. Raise your hands up and throw your heart wide open and tell him how much you love him. Let him know you're surrendered and you're committed and you're dedicated and you're going right on with God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. The word of God will change you. The word of God will change you. The word of God will change you. The word of God will make a new creature out of you. Hallelujah. 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 I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm coming. Hallelujah. Raise your hands now and tell him how much you love him. Raise them way up high and tell him how much you love him. I preached this book with all my heart this morning. That's the best I know to do. Work a miracle in some of you. I pray for Mr. Faurese that you would work a miracle in his life. Let me see your hand here, my friend. God, I pray for a miracle. We saw change his life from head to toe. Oh, to see for Mantica. Hallelujah. Only you can do it, God. Your chambers can't do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Lay your hand on.